Today's opening tip. LeBron started in the Lakers' final seeding game against the Kings that kicked off at 1:30 Eastern. LeBron had 17 points, 3 boards, 4 assists in just the first half. Perk, a lot of big stars are resting in today's and tomorrow's games. Are you surprised LeBron is in action?
I am surprised, Rachel, but it don't surprise me. So I'm torn between the two because we all know LeBron, he's out there probably trying to get his rhythm and make sure he stays sharp. Although I did see a couple bloopers where I was like, hold on, bro, you missing layups and alley-oops? You might need to sit this one out.
I'm not surprised. LeBron's a gamer. LeBron wants to play. LeBron wants to get his rhythm back. I'm actually not really that surprised.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if there's other bigger name players who do want to play even just a quarter or a half in these games to stay sharp because the playoffs do start on Monday. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm thrilled to be joined by our senior writer, host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe, and NBA champ, Kendrick Perkins, doing double duty today. He called the Celtics game earlier today, and boom, he's right here with us. So we appreciate it, Perk. Thank you. Coming up, guys, we're going to talk about Joel Embiid. He left last night's game for the Sixers. It's not believed to be a serious injury, but what chances do you give Philly against the Celtics in the first round? We're going to discuss that. But first, it's breaking news on The Jump. As first reported by the Houston Chronicle, Russell Westbrook is expected to minimally miss the start of the Rockets' first-round playoff series against the Thunder because of a strained right quad muscle. Sources tell ESPN that Westbrook's return will depend on how he responds to treatment. Perk, how does this injury impact the series? Because remember, they're playing Westbrook's former team. What do you think, Perk?
Listen, Rachel, the thing is this, right? Russell Westbrook is the most athletic point guard to ever play the game of basketball. We all know this. He relies on his athleticism. That's what makes him so special. And for him to have this quad injury, it's not good for the Rockets or Russell Westbrook right now. Now, I haven't spoken to Russell yet to ask him how serious it is, but for him to be sitting out, and you know we all know Russ got that Mamba mentality, I have concerns.
I'm actually most worried about the minutes when Harden is on the bench. The Rockets have been fine all season when it's just Harden, no Russ. And look, without Russ, the Thunder will double Harden more, but guess what? He's got shooters all around him now. He's got good outside shooters everywhere. They'll probably start Eric Gordon or Ben McLemore. So I think they'll be fine in those minutes, but they rarely, if ever, play without both of those guys on the bench. And if they can't tread water in those minutes, the Thunder are tough as hell. That's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, Perk? I did talk to Russ after last night's game. He was hoping that this would not keep him out of the first game or two of the first round. As you're right, you know him. He was pushing to play. But we heard in Mike D'Antoni's voice last night, they were preparing for time without him. James Harden also, I think James is feeling a little bit like, man, he's in such great shape, the fact that they're sustaining an injury right at the start of the playoffs. But he told me he does have confidence in his team. They feel like even if they have to wait a game or two against Russ, they can make an impact here in those initial games. But to Zach's point, the Thunder are a tough matchup, and I want to get to the Chris Paul side of it as well. After leading OKC to a successful season that, frankly, surprised a lot of people's expectations, I know not you, Perk, but a lot of people, CP3 is suddenly facing the team that traded him last offseason. So, Zach, what do you expect to see from Chris Paul in this series? We know how determined he is and how motivated.
Well, first of all, you hit on the irony. I mean, Houston gave up a lot to swap Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. And part of the reason they did it, because Russell Westbrook is supposedly more durable than Chris Paul and has been. And look what's happening now. It shows you how unpredictable this is. But this is going to be a really interesting series for Chris Paul. He hasn't faced the Rockets, these all small ball, no big man Rockets. And you know Chris thrives, the point guard thrives in the traditional pick and roll. The big man dropping back on defense, those little pockets of space that open. That's where Chris Paul does his business. He's not going to get those now. He's not going to have 7-footers coming out switching on to him. He's going to have wing after wing after wing after wing. I think it's going to be a really interesting series for Chris Paul and a different one than he's ever faced before.
Well, I think, listen, Chris Paul should be in the MVP conversation. The way that he's been leading this Thunder, and yes, Rachel, I did pick them to make the playoffs on your show, The Jump,
right before the season.
But They shouldn't surprise you. And if I'm the Rockets, I'm scared of them. Even with Russell Westbrook, I picked the Rockets to beat them in 7 games. When you look at the makeup of this Thunder team, they are deep. They have a mixture of young guys and old guys. You're looking at Gallinari, who is capable of going for 20 to 25 a night on the offensive end when he gets hot. You're looking at a sixth man of the candidate in Dennis Schroeder, who's having one of his best seasons of his career, averaging 19 points off the bench. And then you have Shea Alexander, who's a rising star in my eyes, averaging
absolutely
20 points. And I love it when Billy Donovan go with that three-guard lineup with Shea, Chris Paul, and Dennis Schroeder. They're very feisty in the backcourt. They defend at a high level. And Big Steven Adams is going to be the deciding factor on whether or not the Oklahoma City Thunder can beat the Houston Rockets.
Well, it's going to be juicy for sure. It's going to be good basketball for sure. And, of course, one of the biggest factors, does Russell Westbrook play and when, is going to be so interesting to watch. All right, guys, I want to move on to the Eastern Conference playoff bracket. All the matchups are set. The Bucks face the Magic in 1-8. Heat and Pacers in a very spicy 4-5. The Celtics and Sixers meet in the 3-6. The Raptors face the Nets in 2-7. So let's focus in on the Sixers. Lost Joel Embiid again last night after he was hit in the right wrist in the first half. Now, his x-rays came back negative, and a source told our Malika Andrews, team is just not that concerned about the injury being serious. So that's good news. Perk, are you giving Philly a real chance against your Celtics? They've got no Ben Simmons, but size-wise, they are a good matchup for Boston. What do you think?
No, I do not give them a real chance at all, Rachel. You know the answer to this, but listen, I tell you what, people think that this is going to be a cakewalk for the Celtics, and it's not. They're going to beat them. I have them beating Philly in 6, because when you think about it, when Joel Embiid is at his best, he is arguably the best big man in the game. He's a generational talent. He's one of one. Philly still have Tobias Harris, who's averaging 20 points. They still have Big Al Horford, who has been a former All-Star and capable of stepping up. And when I look at this Philly team, Joel been saying, I want the ball. Go through me.
Yep.
Well, with Ben Simmons being out, big fella, it's time. Show us that you could be a Hakeem Olajuwon and take over a series and take over a franchise. I want to see if you want the smoke, because this Celtic team not playing.
I agree with Perk, actually. Shockingly, again, I agree with Perk. I'm going to pick the Celtics. Let's be clear. I'm going to pick the Celtics. They're better. They are absolutely rolling through this bubble when they're trying to win anyway. But I don't want to hear any whining about how the Sixers, oh, the poor Sixers, they don't have. But yeah, Ben Simmons, I put him on my All-NBA team. He's great. You still have Joel Embiid, who's the single most dominant big man force in the NBA. Tobias Harris is a 20-point scorer. Josh Richardson is one of the most versatile two-way guards in the league for his role. Al Horford is still Al Horford. Like, it's not like they have nothing there. They have the most dominant player in this series and a guy who's been a matchup nightmare for Daniel Tice and the rest of the Celtics. And they can put more shooting around him now. So let's see how that works. I don't think this is going to be a walkover. And I think if you think it is, that's a mistake.
No, I actually think it's going to be a pretty contested series. I had a chance to catch up with Al Horford last night, and he said, gosh, what's the irony, right, that this is the Al Horford Bowl? He said that he's not sorry that these games are happening in the bubble as opposed to him having to go back to the Garden as an opponent during a playoff series. He says he knows from experience there is nothing like that crowd, and having them all yell and scream at him during this series was not going to be so exciting. So he's actually happy this is taking place in a bubble. We will see what the back and forth between the teams are as we get started next week. All right, coming up later on this show, with all of the excitement surrounding the Western Conference play-in game, is the scenario here to stay in the long run? We will discuss, because we all like it so far. First, though, here's something our Professor Bodmer cooked up. We're calling it the NBA at the Symphony. This one stars James Harden. Take a look.
Jump is brought to you by IKEA. What's your dream? At IKEA, we help you live it.
It's time for this week's Ultra Moment, brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Booker, this is for the win. Got it! Wow! Here Boucher flushes it against $2. Finishing through contact, he'll go to the line to complete a three-point play.
And look at the reaction of the bench.
Anthony Davis picked up by Bull. Here comes Kuzma for the win. Got it! 0.4 to go. They got the lead. Timeout, Denver.
Cue me in. Do the clapping and be like, action. It's a make or miss league.
Maybe a little more funny than that.
I don't know what am I make or missing? It's a make or miss league. Cut that.
It sure is, Jimmy Butler. It sure is. Make toughness. Thunder Heat, CP3 chirping at Duncan Robinson. Then he comes up with a steal and throws it off Robinson's back. Jimmy took exception to this, and he steamrolled CP3 in the next Heat possession. Perk, you like seeing Jimmy sticking up for his guy there?
Absolutely. You know where Jimmy from. He's from Texas. He's a Texas boy. Rachel, we don't play that. We ride or die for our teammates, and it's just a tone setter going into the playoffs, and it's what the Heat culture is all about. Ride or die, bad boys for life.
Jimmy Butler is pure unadulterated entertainment. He's got feuds and kerfuffles with like every team in the league. It doesn't even matter who Miami plays in the playoffs. There's gonna be like fun Jimmy Butler drama.
Look, I think if anyone can respect the passion, it's Chris Paul. So I think those guys are probably gonna be just fine. Miss passing. Everyone was taking it coast to coast last night. We had Kyle Lowry. We have Bol Bol. We have Jeremy Grant coming up. Zach, why isn't anyone stopping the basketball here?
Because there's two games left in the regular season part of the bubble, and everyone, let's have some fun. Let Bol Bol go coast to coast. Let
it's
people get
good.
Some numbers. We got teams going home. Let's just have a good time. I like it. It's a make.
Well, my thing is, Rachel and Zach, who's going to be stopping Bol Bol, a 7'2 guy coming down the lane coast to coast? I'm not stopping them. And by the way, Kyle Lowry, what did you expect? That was the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, come on now. We all know it's dysfunctional everywhere, and that's part of it. No way that shit happened.
Make Oscar staying with the Raptors. Check out this phenomenal flop before the half by Lowry. This was a thing of beauty. But Kyle knows how to do this, guys. This is just some of his other flops from this season. He is not afraid to sacrifice his body, Kendrick Perkins, and that means with a charge or a flop or whatever he needs to do, right?
He gets his team extra possessions. Look, you can call it flopping or whatever. Unless the refs call it, he gets his team the extra possessions. By the way, Kyle Lowry is number one in the league in taking charges. So we don't never know, but he gets the ball, though.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if you ask Kyle Lowry, he'll tell you he doesn't flop. Number two, if you lead the league in charges drawn, you can flop every once in a while. And the better one of these is the PJ Tucker one. It's the second head bounce that really makes it. And the sheer agony on his face, like as if he's really been punched by Mike Tyson. It's a masterpiece.
Massive. Look, it's all a skill. All right, miss fundamentals. Goran Dragic playing pick and roll basketball, passes it through his legs to Bam. Now, Zach, we've seen this from both Harden and Luka Doncic earlier in the bubble. As a basketball aficionado, as someone who loves nothing more than breaking down tape, when you see one of these cross your computer, how does it make you feel, Zach Lowe?
I love it. I just dread the moment when someone who's maybe not quite qualified to try this gives it a shot. And or someone does it in a big moment and it doesn't work out and all of a sudden the fun police start denigrating him. I love it. But the Doncic one was the best one. Overtime against the Bucks. Come on, that's crazy.
No, it's real impressive, Rachel. Listen, and as a guy, a big man that averaged about 6 assists in high school, I can say that's the right pass. Although it may look like you're showing off, that's the right pass to make. I just wish I could do it, but it's Magic Johnson all through the bubble right now. But people don't understand. That's actually the right pass to make.
It absolutely is. And Perk, I love that you have an NBA championship ring, and yet you're quoting your credentials as being the guy who got average 6-6 in high school. I'm just saying. All right. We got to talk about the race for the final playoff spot out west. By the end of the night, tonight, we will know which two teams are facing off in the Western Conference play-in game on ABC on Saturday. That's going to be at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 Pacific. All four teams still in contention are in action tonight, with Blazers-Nets being the late game at 9 o'clock Eastern. So that's the one we're going to look at. Portland clinches that eighth seed with a win over the Nets. Brooklyn's expected to play their entire roster, although I should note that's their bubble roster, not their out-of-bubble roster, which would be a whole different game. The Grizzlies, if you look at their scenario, they clinch at worst the ninth seed with a win over the Bucks, so they control their own destiny. The Suns, they do not. They need a win themselves, also a loss from either the Blazers or Grizzlies to sneak into the play-in game. And the Spurs need a win, and let's just call it a whole lot of help, right, to keep their 22-season playoff streak alive. So, Zach, given the amount of enthusiasm the play-in scenarios have produced over the last 2 weeks, do you expect the NBA to keep this format in seasons to come?
I hope so. It's an absolute no-brainer. I've been saying it's a no-brainer for years and years. Anything that keeps more teams alive in the last 2 weeks of the season is super exciting. It makes for better basketball. And one thing I think they've stumbled on here is I like that they have parameters where if the gap is too big in the standings, the play-in doesn't happen, because the NBA's play-in proposal for the regular season, a normal season, it actually involves the seven seeds in each conference. And I don't think it would have been fair, for instance, if Dallas had to be in a play-in tournament this year. That's not fair. They're too far ahead of number eight. So I like that they've introduced that. If you can find a way to make that permanent in some way, all in on the play-in.
Well, I think it's great for the bubble, but it's not going to be good for an 82-game season, though, Rachel and Zach, because, listen, you play 82 games to fight for your seeding, and I don't think a play-in tournament throughout a full regular season, full 82-game season, without stoppage would be great. You know, you earn that position. But I can't lie, I've been a fan of it, because we've been seeing nothing but playoff basketball before the playoffs. Guys are competing at a high level because they're fighting for something. So it's been very exciting to watch right now during this time while they're down there in Orlando. Before it's going forward, no, we got to throw that out. We got to throw that out.
I don't know. I think that there's something to be said for – I was going to say, I think there's something to be said for Perk for the idea that, yes, you earn your spot, but maybe if you earn the next spot down within a certain number of games, you earn the right to at least try to fight your way in. I just feel like we need some other things to keep the end of the regular season feeling as fresh as the start of the regular season and the playoffs do, and this is pretty cool. And I think it also lets the team that does win the play-in spot feel like they have won something, because then next week, you all know they're about to get crushed by like bugs, in a normal scenario. Now, I'm not talking about this time with this Western Conference team, because we have a couple teams competing in the play-in that are so different because we're 4 months past what we had at the regular season. But in a regular season scenario, you would not have, like, say, a Blazers team that is coming back as a totally different team. You'd have a team that was probably losing the first round anyway, so you might as well give them a little excitement and have them win a play-in game. I'm just saying.
But you know what, Rachel? It's a good thing, though, because it teaches teams now not to take regular season games for granted anymore, right?
Yep.
So, like, during the course of the 82-game seasons, hopefully guys will compete more and compete throughout the season without having these blowouts and be competing, to know that we can't let it go down to the end of the season in the last four or five games.
Yeah, just no, that's thought. Absolutely true. That's for real. All right, guys, we'll leave this here. This will be next year's problem. For the rest of this show, though, we're going to talk after the break. Kendrick and Zach are going to give me their selections for the all-bubble team. There are plenty of strong candidates for this honor. Voters like me, we're running out of time to cast our ballots. But, Zach, I'm not turning mine in until after all the games are done. I don't know about you. We'll discuss after this break. They like me. Tonight from the Wubble in Bradenton, Florida, we'll have another ESPN2 WNBA doubleheader for you. Sparks take on the Mystics at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, and then the Lynx are squaring off against the league's leading scorer, Asia Wilson, and the Aces. All right, it's time now to bring back an old jump favorite, Zach Lowe's NBA Dreams. Here's a little refresher. Oh, look.
Oh, boy.
It's Zach Lowe's.
What are you
NBA
dreaming about?
They spring this on me. They don't tell me they're going to do this.
Zach Lowe's.
I haven't had one
dreams.
In a while.
Who has time for this? I have crazy NBA dreams all the time. Someone said I should write a column about them. I'm going to settle for people think they're funny, but these are real. These are like, that's how my brain works.
Why are you having dreams about this?
I have that. That's Cristiano Felicio is a deep cut.
Welcome back to the Jump. Still with Kendrick Perkins and Zach Lowe's NBA dreams. It's time for another edition. Because Zach, what is the latest dream that you have to share with us?
Well, because I am a profoundly damaged individual, I recently had a dream in which Brian Windhorst and I want to make clear, it was Brian Windhorst's idea, broke into Sam Presti's house because we thought that Sam Presti was on vacation and we wanted to hack into his computer and see what we can find. Except when we got on the computer, all of a sudden the lights went on upstairs and it turned out Sam Presti didn't go on vacation and he came down and caught us red-handed. And plot twist, Brian Windhorst talked us out of it and somehow convinced Sam Presti that we were not there under nefarious pretense. So this is apparently what's going on in my brain. I don't know why I dreamt this, but I dreamt that we tried, because of Brian Windhorst, to be clear, we tried to hack the Thunder GM.
Well, now I understand why the Thunder have an extra security detail here in the bubble, right, Perk? They're just trying to get away from Zach and Brian.
Zach, are you really dreaming this? Seriously?
That's a real dream. It's sad enough. That's a dream that really happened, and it involves it's a sad state of affairs here. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, I'll tell you what, it would be extremely hard for you to even know where Sam Presti live at. Let alone get to his computer. He's so private, by the way.
That's true. And don't worry, Perk. We won't make big graphics out of your dreams. This is just for Zach, so you're good. You're safe. You can keep your dreams to yourself. I want to get back to the bubble, Zach. Please, we might need to get you some sleep aids. That's a whole other issue. The NBA is going to commemorate the top performers for the 8 seeding games. There will be a 5-player first team, a 5-player second team, and there will be no breakdowns by position. So, Zach, who makes your all-bubble first team? Who's on there?
So, I know this is going to anger Perk, but James Harden has gotten enough awards. So, let's let the bubble awards go to not James Harden, even though he's maybe been the best player in the bubble. So, my team is going to be Damian Lillard, 50-piece, 60-piece, in. Devin Booker, come on, in. T.J. Warren, has James Harden been better? Yes. But give T.J. Warren a little love. And then I'm putting both Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis on the first team. KP has been kind of stealthily really, really good. 31 points a game, shooting really well. So that's my first team. No James Harden, but what can you do?
Well, Zach, we're not far off. My first team, all team bubble, I have Devin Booker, I have TJ Warren, I have Luka Doncic, I have James Harden, and I have...
You got TJ Warren on there?
Dame Dollar. I do not have Porzingis. Listen, you cannot have Porzingis in there, two guys on the first team all team. Zach, they haven't been winning that many games. Like, how can you have two guys on there on your first team when Dallas are like, they lost like three games already? So how is that?
Well, Harden has missed it.
Harden mopped them up.
It's just a bubble, Perk. Let me have a little fun in the bubble. It doesn't have to be that serious.
I feel like James Harden playing well has been one of the stories of the bubble. I mean, this guy's gotten so much attention as we get to the end of a regular season about, oh, he's running out of gas and what's he going to be in the playoffs? And he's looked nothing but energetic here and scored, I think the first night he went out and scored 49 points, Zach. What else do you want from him in the seeding games?
Nothing. He's been amazing. If you want him on first team all bubble, vote for him, Rachel. I'm just trying to have a little fun, give some other people some shine.
There's a second team.
I mean, Zach,
that's
did you
I'm
see
saying,
what he did
Zach.
Last night? Zach, did you see what James did last night? And by the way, how impressive has James Harden's defense been? You know what? If they made a first team, all defensive team in the bubble, James Harden would be on my list. I tell you that.
Well, they're adding all bubble awards right and left here. We'll get to one of those later in the show. So maybe they'll be an all defense team by the time we're done, Perk. I don't know. I want to get to this last thing about NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. He has been praised for his efforts in saving the NBA season and postseason, and rightfully so. Adam did share one regret, though, he has with Sports Illustrated. This is what he said, quote, "I would say my biggest disappointment is that we couldn't find a sensible way to bring all 30 teams down here. We know everything here involves compromises, but I do feel bad there are 8 teams that are not part of the experience." So, Kendrick, do you feel bad about that, too?
No. No, I don't feel bad at all. Hey, look, you have to earn to get to the bubble, right? Like, this is what I told you earlier in the show, Rachel. You can't take the regular season games for granted. You need to learn to play winning basketball from game 1 to game 82. So, no, I don't feel bad for those teams that did get invited to the bubble. That's shame on them, not on Adam Silver. Adam Silver, great job, by the way, all the way across the board. You should have no regrets whatsoever. And I'm going to be your security behind that.
Well, I'm sure he feels regrets because he's hearing from those 8 teams, because they're all somewhere on the range of concerned about not seeing their guys play for so long to angry about not being in the bubble. But I don't think you should feel bad, because if you just go back like a month, people were enormously skeptical that this would work at all. The NBA was getting criticism all over the place for even trying it. You know, they were allegedly endangering the players and all that. There was huge concern over, well, we can't have too many people there, we can't have too many teams there. I thought 22 was frankly too many if you gave those concerns an airing, which I did. So I don't think he should feel bad about it at all. It's a pandemic. He did his best. The league found a compromise, and some people lose out in a compromise. That's what it is.
Yeah. And look, Zach, you were 50% right on the Suns and Wizards probably not highly having a place in the bubble. So there's that. You get half of it. So there you go. You shouldn't feel too bad either yourself. Coming up, guys, we're going to give you an update on CJ McCollum's sore back, how it could impact him tonight in a must-win game for the Blazers. First, though, inside the NBA bubble, it appears we have a budding bromance between Jaylen Brown and Donovan Mitchell. Or it's possible that it's just stalking. You decide. Take a look. You decide.
You're in the bubble. You go chill. You might see Donovan Mitchell sitting there. And you're like, man, I don't want to see him right now.
He want to talk about me. Look at him. Creeping. Look at you. Look at you, bro. Talk about me. I've seen you 5 times in the span of 30 minutes. Get out of here, bro.
Hey, man, get out of here. Get out of here.
Hey, I thought we couldn't see each other, bro.
Be cool now, bro.
Nah, don't touch me. Don't touch me, bro.
Be cool, bro.
Don't touch me. We friends again?
Friends again, bro.
All right, bet.
Tomorrow, we've got an NBA triple header with big-time playoff seeding implications at 4 o'clock Eastern. It's the Heat and Pacers, then OKC squares off against the Clippers, and finally, the Sixers take on the Rockets. All 3 games are on ESPN, on Deportes, and on the app. And tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern, right before the triple header gets going, it's The Jump on ESPN. I sat down with Jimmy Butler. You're going to hear that conversation. We'll also preview the triple header as well as the Western Conference play-in this weekend. So you know what I like to say? Come hang out. All right, let's take a look at today's Dream Makers, brought to you by Sprite. The Sacramento Kings partnered with other organizations to relaunch their Rally the Vote Coalition. This is a 20-team, nonpartisan group made up of professional sports franchises, not just across the NBA, but 5 other professional sports leagues. Their focus is on encouraging fans to register to vote, participate in elections. Owner Vivek Ranadive says that he thinks that voting should be as easy as ordering an Uber. Could not agree more. Kudos to the Kings for rallying around such a good cause. I know we're going to feel an impact come November. All right, at this time, I'd like to welcome in senior writer for The Undefeated, Mark Spears, my co-bubble mate down here in Orlando. And you sat down with Blazers guard CJ McCollum yesterday. CJ spoke a little bit about his injury, so I want to play a clip of that. Everyone take a listen real quick.
Now, so what can you say about your back injury?
I'm playing. So I don't make excuses. I'm not one to lean on or make excuses for my play. I'm out there, so if you're out there, you're healthy in the eyes of myself and the eyes of everyone else. So as you know, I didn't release anything. I haven't said anything about it. I'm just out there hooping, trying to help our team, but it is what it is.
All right.
Now, we see you, Mark, sitting at that table with CJ with a couple glasses of wine. That's because you guys were also talking about CJ's wine venture, and that piece is going to run over the weekend. But let's get back to the injury real quick, because how severe did you sense the injury was when you spoke to him, not just there, but in your reporting?
Well, when he sat down for the interview, he sat down gingerly, and I was like, okay, this is really something. I'm hearing he's in considerable pain. And that this is an injury that he needs rest to get over. It's not something that needs surgery, but now, there's no time for rest now, Rachel. You know, he's trying to get in the playoffs. So even if they get that eighth spot locked in tonight, they still got to play Saturday and potentially Sunday and probably Tuesday. There's no time to rest for the Blazers here. So another thing that's scary for CJ is now your foes know about this injury, and you could kind of see in his face that he didn't seem happy that it's out. So he's probably going to have to protect himself, and I think Damian Lillard is going to have to continue protecting him by having these huge, perhaps 50-point-plus games again to keep the Blazers alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting. If they can get to that eighth spot as opposed to the ninth, it does at least put them in position, Mark, right, to if they could win that first play-in game on Saturday, not having to play, in effect, a back-to-back. Because if you are the eighth seed going into the play-in scenario and the ninth seed comes in with you and you beat them, that's it. You've won. You've gotten the spot. Whereas if you're the ninth seed, you have to win twice. So that makes a difference then to them with CJ, right, if they can get eight versus nine?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they could get it done with quicker, and perhaps he gets an extra day or two. But as we're seeing here, like, these playoffs are every other day. If this was the regular season, I see CJ going on the injured list, going away for however long he needs to get healthy. But there's no time now. So we got to give him respect for this pain that he's fighting with, because he's doing this to help the Blazers make the playoffs. So kudos to him, but it's far from easy for him.
It's been reported as a fracture. I mean, it's dramatic to say he's playing with a broken back, but that's a version of what it is. So we're going to keep watching that.
And that's the truth.
That's a tough guy right there. All right, Devin Booker, you wrote a piece on him today for The Undefeated. How have the Suns been able to surpass expectations in the bubble? What's been the key?
You know, Rachel, when they were playing in those scrimmage games and you were going to them, I remember telling somebody, man, the Suns look really good. But this is scrimmages. It's just scrimmages. It's no big deal. But it transferred over. They came here professional. They came here more mature. And when you walk in your hotel and you see Greg Popovich in your hotel, Damian Lillard, CJ, Melo, you better take this serious. So nobody expected them to do anything, but they expected to do something. And Devin Booker knew that this is the highest stage that he's ever been on. He's never been to the playoffs. So he's been playing out of his mind. He's had a bubble MVP-worthy candidate. Ayton is finally showing what he is. Cameron Johnson is doing well. And I think Coach Williams is the coach of the bubble so far. To have the youngest team in the bubble be undefeated, and they could potentially be undefeated and get knocked out. You know, kudos to the Suns for what they're doing, and because I don't think they even could have projected this.
Yeah, I mean, look, you think that this is probably going to carry over until next season. Certainly the confidence that Booker and DeAndre Ayton and all those players have expressed in Monty Williams. Mark, you and I knew what kind of coach he would be for that team, but it now really seems like the players have bought in. So I'm excited for everyone to read the story you've got today. I'm excited for everyone to see the wine story you have with CJ, because I was there for the end of you guys taping it, and it looked really good, and the wine is very, very, very good. So
McCollum Heritage 91.
Well. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
There we go. Well, Mark knows his wine. There's no doubt about that. Thank you for joining us, sir. I will see you at the arena tonight. The rest of you I will see as the show comes back from break. Coming up, we're going to talk about Giannis receiving a one-game suspension for his headbutt on Mo Wagner. Was that fair? We will discuss and provide a little example from the past involving one Kendrick Perkins. Stay tuned for that. First, though, here's what the joke recommends for today. Our senior sneakerhead, Nick DiPaola's piece on Nike. Nike is planning Mamba Week starting Sunday, August 23rd. It will honor Kobe Bryant. For more details on Mamba Week, you can check out Nick's piece that is on the ESPN app. And it's crunch time here on The Jump. Hey, world, the Wizards finally won a basketball game. They beat the Celtics 96-90 in their final game before exiting the bubble. Hey, they didn't go 0-8, Zach. Did Washington gain anything by playing in this restart?
Yeah, look, Washington, jokes aside, they came. They played hard with a limited roster, but they played hard. Most of their young players, other than Rui Hachimura, who was shaky, showed some progress. Troy Brown Jr. got to handle the ball. Thomas Bryant's defense was a little better. Jerome Robinson got some reps. Like, the Wizards got something out of it. Give the Wizards a little love.
Listen, the last time I checked, the Wizards head coach was named Scott Brooks, NBA champion 1994, Clutch City. Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion. You think he was leaving out of that bubble without winning the game? Please. Scott Brooks got too much pride. He was going to get him one.
I kind of did think that, Bert.
I'm happy they got one. I'm not sure Scotty could have forced it that way, but who knows? All right, let's talk about the other side of that game. The Celtics have extended head coach Brad Stevens. We don't have the details yet, but Stevens is in his seventh season with Boston. He is already fourth on the Celtics' all-time wins list. Kendrick, this is a no-brainer for your old club, right?
Absolutely. I was wondering what took Danny Ainge and Whit Grosbeck so long to extend him. Listen, Brad Stevens is not a senior citizen. He is 43 years old. He's a young stud. He has exceeded expectations in my eyes as a young coach over this Celtic franchise. And now they have him long term where he could grow with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Great move by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I've lost track of how many contract extensions they gave Brad Stevens at this point. This is like the third or fourth one. He might be under contract through like 2030, but he's a great coach. They have a philosophy every year. It's very clear how they want to play, what their style is going to be, and he can adapt it when the personnel changes. All they do is win, and he's got a chance to have this job for as long as Greg Popovich has had the Spurs job, essentially for his working life if he wants it, which is incredibly rare.
Yeah, I mean, look, he is already fourth on the all-time win list, so he is going to keep climbing there. You know, Red Auerbach is, of course, the holy grail on that list, but Brad is so young, and it does seem like he's going to have this job for a long time. He could end up being number one on that list, passing Red someday, so we will watch and see. Congratulations to him and the team. Let's switch over to the Pelicans because Zion Williamson spoke to the media today, wrapping up his rookie season. He said he needs to, quote, work on getting my body where it needs to be. So, Zach, what do you think that means? Where does Zion need to be at the start of next season? Which is complicated because we don't know when the start of next season is going to be.
Well, his conditioning clearly was not there. Obviously, there are extenuating circumstances, but he looked slow and like he was running in cement on defense, which is weird because on offense, he gets to the rim before you even blink an eye. But the conditioning just wasn't there, and I don't know if that's weight, working out more, whatever it is, but it just needs to be better.
Zach, don't sugarcoat it. Listen, I think that picture before the bubble was photoshopped or something because Zion did not look anything close to that picture, Rachel. I'm sorry. Listen, Zion, the future is bright, right? But he has to at least lose 30 to 35 pounds.
That much? He looks too much?
Yes. Yes, he looks too heavy. I watched him run up and down the court. He wasn't moving gracefully. He couldn't guard. And he really didn't play well in the bubble. Yes, he had some good numbers, but he didn't play well. He was negatives a lot in the negative plus minus department. And he just didn't look good. So I think he needed to lose about 30 to 35 pounds.
Wow. I mean, look, I'm not going as far as you on the Photoshop. I'm sure that was a real picture that we saw of him when the Pelicans first got together after the shutdown. But it is confusing, right? He was talking at that time, and his coaches were talking about the fact that he was in such great shape. And then all of a sudden, I know he missed some time leaving the bubble, but to be in so much conditioning trouble that you then are on a minutes restriction and being held out, it does seem conflicting. So I hope that by the time next season starts, whenever it starts, that Zion is in whatever shape he needs to be. I don't know if I'm going 35 pounds perk, but we'll see. We'll see. All right. Before we go, I want to discuss the one-game suspension the league handed down to Giannis Antetokounmpo for headbutting Mo Wagner on Tuesday night. Now, Giannis is going to serve his suspension tonight against the Grizzlies. The game has no bearing on Milwaukee's playoff seeding, and perk, no one wants to see the reigning MVP miss a playoff game, except you were rather critical of Giannis's actions. Do you think a one-game suspension is fair, or did you want to see more? What did you want here?
Yes, it was unfair. Listen, Rachel, this is not MMA, right? This is basketball. You cannot be headbutting people. And by the way, Giannis got that star treatment because Anybody else would have at least got 2 to 3 games, right? 1 game suspension for headbutting somebody. This is not the MMA. This is professional basketball. And so, yeah, I do not think it's fair, 1 game. I think he's 1 game.
I think the precedent is usually 1 game for headbutts. I mean, there's probably been different circumstances, but I think 1 game is typical. And by the way, Giannis wasn't playing this game anyway, so it almost doesn't really even matter. He wasn't going to play, and we'll see how Memphis, obviously a must-win for Memphis, but he wasn't going to play anyway.
Well, Perk, I don't know if you're talking about what's fair and not for precedent, because in 2015, let me see if I can remember who this young man is. Oh, yes, it's Kendrick Perkins.
Uh-oh.
Who committed the headbutt and got, oh, yes, a 1-game suspension. So they just gave Giannis the same thing they gave you, Perk.
Yeah, but Rachel, what I'm telling you is my headbutt wasn't, I didn't put that into it. We just actually just kind of bumped heads. You talking about me and Tyreek Evans. I remember the game perfectly. Because I was trying to protest that that wasn't a headbutt. I didn't deliberately throw a blow. You know, if I would have headbutted Tyreek, I would have knocked him out. You know, if I wanted to headbutt somebody. That wasn't a headbutt. And look, Rachel, you want to jump, you, Steve, and Hillary, and everybody. Y'all trying to pull up receipts on me or something? What's going on?
I'm just saying that we all have long memories, Kendrick Perkins. That's all I can say. I covered your entire career from start to finish, and my memory is long. All right, I want to stay on the Bucks for 1 minute because Chris Middleton is one-tenth of a percentage point away from joining the 50-40-90 club. Even more impressive is that Middleton would join Larry Bird, Dirk, KD, and Steph as the only players to shoot more than 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90 from the foul line while also averaging more than 20 points per game. So if he plays and Middleton is scheduled to play today, he would have to shoot a minimum of 2 for 2 from the field to reach that milestone. Zach, he's got to go for it, right?
With apologies to the other teams that are competing for the play-in in the West, if Chris Middleton makes his first 2 shots in the game, raise your hand, ask out, come out of the game, and join the 50-40-90 club. Don't take any more shots.
Let him play. Yeah. Let him play. Go for it. Go for it.
He should go for it, but I'm with Zach. Once he makes those 2 baskets, if it's 2 for 2, get out. Keep your statistics.